This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. Paul Osborne joins us this morning, as he does each and every week or Thursday morning for the City Hall Insider segment. You can read his City Beat column. He talks about Ed Culp becoming the first official challenger in the Decatur City Council race. I love what Ed had to say yesterday, Paul. He said, yeah, I have an agenda. I love this community.
Oh, yeah. Ed called some time ago, and I'm sure he checked with other people, too, and told me what he was thinking of doing. And quite frankly, it made me feel good that someone is willing to step up at this time, and someone with his credentials, someone with his background, and someone with a love that for this community that he has. And I think I heard you mention earlier, sometimes people, you know, they give and give to the community, then they're ready to quit and retire and say, I've done my share. And he certainly has already done his share, but he wants to do more because he loves this community. And I think one of his comments was he wasn't going to let COVID dictate the future of this community. And that's what we want to hear. We want to hear people who have a vision for the way this community should be moving ahead and has the background to say, I've been there, I've done that, I'll bring that experience to this office.
All right, so let's lay out what that council is going to look like. There are three positions up for election. We know that Chuck Kuehl and David Horn are running, so we know there's going to be a new council member.
Right, and that's I think that was a spot that too that people were kind of concerned about, that with everything negative that it's been happening and the abuse it seems like public officials are taking and council members have been taking in recent months, like who in their right mind would want to go through that? And I think it's refreshing at this point to say, yeah, we have people. We have in Ed, we have someone who's stepping up and saying, I'll meet this challenge. I want your vote. I want to serve on city council. And from what he told me in our conversation, it's for all the right reasons. And I've heard a lot of people over the years, run for city council for various reasons. One, they just want to be on the city council, or they want to change this or they want to change that. But I think Ed is going to be a tough candidate to beat. I hope others will step up too. But I think right off the bat, we have a strong candidate, Chuck Kuehl. He took some time to make his decision. He's taken quite a beating, as many of them have, verbally and but it's from people, they're on the sidelines and always criticizing everyone. I think it's been particularly nasty for the mayor and some of the council members, and they don't really deserve that. They don't. They're in leadership positions, and I'm glad that Ed and others recognize the fact that the majority of people in this community are people that want the best for this community, and that's what he wants. And hopefully we'll have some others. I think David Horn, he's running for the second time, and I don't know where he is on some of the issues now, but I know that he has his own following. So you usually think incumbents will do well. It's not always the case, but so you're kind of focusing more maybe on that third position, and that's why I think Ed's candidacy and his announcement yesterday was so important. We've got one quality person already running for that position, and maybe others will be encouraged to step up.
As you were saying that, I was looking up David Horn's Facebook page. I mean, there's 1,274 likes. I mean, that's not small, but it's not big. I ask you, just, and it's not just all David Horn, where has the council been the last 7 months?
Yeah, I think probably, I think probably because of the pandemic, because of COVID, hasn't been as focused on, the issues you'd like for them to be focused on, because there's one overwhelming issue they're dealing with on a daily basis, the mayor is dealing with.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen the mayor and I've watched Kevin Greenfield, but the individual county board members and the council members, where are they to help back up leadership as far as the important messages that need to be out there right now?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, And I think that's something, certainly as mayor, that...
she's out there all alone.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be that way. And I think, when you're charting a course for the city, you need to know you have people on the council or on the county board standing behind you in this direction you're going. And you have to have that unified front. And, it seems like the mayor is out there and all alone, taking a lot of this abuse. And I think that's true on any issue, too, regardless of this. You can't have to have a united front and say, this is the direction we want to move. This is what we need to do. And you have to have some council voices saying, yeah, we agree with that, or at least a majority of them. And you raise a good point.
It's amazing. I don't know about you, but I will just tell you what would normally you would hear from council members. You'd get text or whatever about any number of subjects. It's just been like crickets for months and months and months.
Yeah, it really has. I would agree with that. And certainly it's maybe it's a desire to, stay silent and not getting into any controversy at all. But I guess I don't see how this COVID pandemic is controversial. It's here. It's here, and we need to stand together. And I think, the voices are those in leadership positions need to emphasize the need to do the right thing. And you can't have the mayor out there all alone doing this all the time. She is a spokesperson. I can tell you that mayor's position can get awful lonely when people don't want to stand behind you, and you take the brunt of all the criticism because you're the mayor.
Yeah. That's always going to be the case. And as tough as that is, that's what you get. You know that going in, right? I just think that I'm looking for some unified voices right now, and those positions have always been sort of nonpartisan. We don't have to worry about Republican or Democrat. It's just people that want the best interest for the city. And I feel like we're living in a world right now where common sense people sort of in the middle of all that, don't want to say anything because they don't want to be shouted at, and therefore we're letting the small percentage of people who make the most noise have all of the air and all of the oxygen.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. And I think it comes to a lot of this division that, if you have people that are very outspoken against what you're trying to do here in the city, then, some public officials don't want to say much of anything, so they don't want to alienate them too. And I just think that's bad politics and that's bad policy. You do what is right and you say what is right, and that's the reason that you were elected. You're not always going to agree with the mayor or other council members, but you should be agreeing on something like this and standing together because you want the community to stay safe. You want businesses to remain open. You want the economy not to go down the tube. This is such a much bigger issue than I think a lot of people recognize. So much depends on us doing the right thing right now and leaders saying the right thing and leading by example and standing together right now, because the far-reaching effects of this are unknown at this point. But it's going to impact for a long time in our city.
Yeah, I feel like we've lost, Paul. And I mean, I fluctuate, day by day. There's days I'm very optimistic about the human spirit, and there's days I am, like, just utterly depressed. But it feels like we've lost a little bit of that neighbor taking care of neighbor sort of thing we had in this country at one time.
And maybe that's because I was thinking about that the other day, too. And maybe that's because, we think of World War II when everyone pitched in and helped each other. And they knew they were in it for the long haul. And today it's instant everything. We don't want to wait for anything. We've become a generation that we want answers right now. We want our food right now. We wouldn't think of going back to World War II time when you didn't have fast food service and you had to wait an hour and a half for your meal to be cooked. We'd never go to a restaurant like that. And I think it's just instant gratification that we've had for so long. We want COVID to be over right now.
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of people that will blame the technology, but if you do that, I think it all goes back to the microwave oven. Okay, that's great. We can set that argument up. But it's still human behavior, and people have to be responsible for that. We have to care about one another.
Yeah, and I think sometimes maybe the technology has isolated us too much. You know, instead of even before this happened, a lot of face-to-face and personal conversations, you know, I've been on the iPhone talking to people. And if you'd be eating with someone in a restaurant and the phone rings, they'll talk to the person on the phone and leave you sitting there. And maybe it's made people a little more impersonal, and because we depended on the technology so much. But as you say, you've got to look deeper than the technology. You have to look into what you're about, what defines you as a person. You know, are you a person that cares about your neighbor? You know, and goodness, in the farming community around here, I remember, and I assume it's still true, if one farmer would get sick, you know, the other farmers would pitch in and harvest his crops, no charge at all, because they needed each other and depended on each other. And I guess I see that spirit is the spirit that needs to be here today. You know, it's, we look out for each other, and, you know, the mask wearing, well, I'm not going to wear it. Well, look out for each other. You know, forget about yourself for a second. Look out for others. And that's what we're supposed to be about. And even in the, you know, the teaching, the basic teaching of Christ, if you're a Christian, it's
Paul,
about others.
Paul, don't even get me started. Half these people who make all this noise, you go to their Facebook page, and that's the first thing they triumph is their Christian life. And it's like, you're not following any of the principles of the church. But yet, that's who they are. They're on display.
Yeah, well, God doesn't need that kind of public relations. He doesn't. And it infuriates me when people, you know, they practice such hateful attitudes towards other people and then claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, it's just so opposite. Don't, you know, if you want to have your opinion and you want to hate someone, don't attribute that belief in any way to being a follower of Christ or being a Christian. That's not a Christian attitude. I mean, Christ even forgave the people who crucified him.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's talk about the debate tonight. Will it matter? Are there any undecideds left in this presidential race?
I don't think it's going to make much difference. I really don't. And I think people feel so strongly one way or another on this that, and of course, I can tell you right now, both sides will claim victory. So it's
well, that's always been the case, right?
Yeah. And I just think it's... you know, I think for the most part, and even in my case, I will watch that, but I don't think it's going to change much. I think Trump would have to do exceptionally well, you know, to score any points. But so many people have already voted. You know, they feel that maybe on election day, only about a third of the voters will actually vote on election day. People are making up their minds early on this, and they're showing up at the polls. And to me, that doesn't bode well for Trump. It really doesn't. And I think people just, you know, they're looking for something better than what we have right now. And maybe COVID has caused that, too, that we have to climb out of this hole. And but I don't know. It's, you know, this whole year has been so crazy. What can you expect out of your politics?
Yeah, and how ugly do you think it will be leading up to those days right before the election, those days right after the election? I mean, what I'm praying for, and I don't even care which side, is a landslide victory so we can put to bed all of this rigged stuff, you know, or counting mail-in ballots. But how ugly do you think it will be in and around leading up to and right after all these votes have been cast?
Well, I think it'll be much uglier than it is now, unless it's unless the victory by either candidate is so overwhelming that even with any smidgen of corrupt management of this election, it wouldn't have made any difference anyway. I think it's the reason the overwhelming victory is going to be very decisive. It can't get ugly if you lose by a huge, huge majority. If it's halfway close, then I think it will really get ugly. And who knows when we'll really know, you know, which person's elected president.
You know, we've always had a two-party system through your lifetime, through my lifetime. It's always been, you know, us versus them, red versus blue. But it's never felt as personal as it feels right now, Paul, that, like, you can't just agree to disagree. You have to be the enemy.
Yeah, and that's part, I think, of this division. It's not only disagreeing on a policy or disagreeing on issues or disagreeing on a candidate. It goes beyond that. you know, I not only disagree with you, I hate you. It's just like you're nothing. Your opinion doesn't count. And just, you know, that's a climate that we have in this country right now, and it needs to change. And one way or the other, maybe after this election, you know, we'd be a gentler country. We're not a hateful country. We're not people who hate other people because of their views. We're a very tolerant country, and we always have been. But we don't see a lot of tolerance right now. And I think it's one thing to have your opinion, feel strongly about your candidate, but don't look down at another person because they disagree with you or call them names or basically say their opinion doesn't count. Their opinion does count, just as your opinion counts. And until we can come together, I guess I was so shocked because the Democrats were so upset because Dianne Feinstein, you know, gave Mitch McConnell a hug, like a one-second hug after that judicial hearing.
No, listen, we live in a world where Ellen DeGeneres can't sit next to George W. Bush at a football game. I mean, you know, that is literally how we draw the lines in this country, and it happens on both sides. That Trump just referred to vice presidential candidate as a monster. I mean, that's a word that's not presidential. You know, and then one last thing, Paul, before we let you out of here. You've been in the newspaper publishing business for a long time. I would assume your track record, but you can speak for yourself. About 99% of the time when somebody leans in and goes, hey, just between you and me and the fence pole, it turns out to be not true, right? And we don't publish stuff. We don't put stuff out there because everybody's always got a theory. Everybody's always got a story. Everybody's always got a connection. And you don't just publish that. You've got to have – it's got to be provable. It's got to be – you know, but yet we're now in a country where the president retweets that we didn't kill bin Laden and it was all in the Navy SEALs and a body double, and he says on national TV to the court, to the person asking the question, well, you know, people can decide for themselves.
Yeah.
The president of the United States of America.
Well, and I think, you know, actions like that and actions like I mentioned earlier about the Democrats being outraged because there was a hug, actions like that, they don't help us. And I think as a newspaper publisher for so long, you know, I want proof that something – I'm just not going to put something in the paper because somebody read it on Facebook, and I do get that and say, you need to put this in the Tribune.
Yeah.
And I think we've been very careless, and I have to admit my opinion of journalists, particularly on the national level, has probably reached an all-time low, and it's more – trying to get the president defeated. There's always a motive now. The news stories reporting always have more of a commentary to them than an actual news story. And they've just gone overboard the other direction.
Yeah, but that doesn't – but once again, we've all – this is what life in America has turned into. It's, well, what about? It's not two wrongs don't make a right. It's, well, no, we'll justify this behavior to point out other bad behavior. There used to be standards in the Oval Office, in the White House, and we had higher expectations of the president of the United States, whether the media is acting properly or not.
Yeah, and well, the media just feeds that is what happens and makes it worse. But, you know, it's like anything else. And I've always, you know, the president of the United States is the president of the United States. And you look, regardless of whether that person's a Democrat or Republican, you look to them to set the example for the way the country should be. They represent us to the world. And I think in whether it's you know, whether it's in Washington D.C. or whether it's here in the city of Decatur, we look to our leadership. You know, they set the example. They just don't tell us this is the direction to go or this is the direction we want to go. They set the example by saying, look, I'm doing this too because I believe this is the right direction.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of confusion there now because our leaders on the national level, they're giving us mixed signals.
They are. And listen, I'm not – they're all of them are guilty of it, and I'm not apologizing for CNN or Fox or anybody else. But what I'm saying, though, is this president has used that. If there's something critical of him, he has just coined the phrase fake news.
Fake news.
Fake media. And that gets down to the point where we tell you 97 people tested positive yesterday and a lady died, and people on Facebook go fake news.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the sad part, and that's what we're harvesting now from a lot of months and months and months of this kind of dialogue or that's been going on in our country. That now anything you disagree with, you don't believe, And it could even be life and death circumstances, and you don't believe it because it's fake news.
Yeah, the standard operating procedure on Facebook is to say a lady died. What, did she get shot? You know, and it's like, okay, do you, first of all, have any compassion or humanity for this woman's family and loved ones? I mean, this wasn't just a statistic. You know, I mean, this was somebody's loved one.
Yeah, well, and then a lot of times, I've read, and you've read too, well, they probably would have died anyway. Yeah, how insensitive is that?
Well, I think you just described the entire human population. We are all going to die anyway.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like to hang around and see your grandchildren? And I think that's what's frustrating for so many of us. I know it is for me. You know, you define yourself as to what you believe, and you're defined by a lot of things. A lot of that's experience. A lot of that is dealing with a lot of things over the years. And you say, this is where I stand, and this is what I believe. And sometimes you feel, you know, does anyone else believe this? does anyone else believe you shouldn't hate other people? Well, yeah, there are a lot of people. The majority of people don't hate other people and act that way. And we know in our own community, the acts of generosity, the acts of kindness, they're everywhere. And unfortunately, maybe because of national leadership on both parties, that message isn't real clear right now because they're setting such a bad example.
No, we're just pawns for them, and it's been that way for a long time. And they deserve a lot of the blame, but it's not all of the blame. You know,
yeah.
Facebook deserves a lot of blame, but it's not all of the blame. At the end of the day, human beings have to be responsible for their behavior. We've never had more information available to us at our fingertips in the history of human beings than we do today, but just quit being lazy. You don't have to listen to me, you don't have to listen to Paul, but you can find the truth. It's not that hard. You really just have to take responsibility. All right, Paul, we're out of time. We got one more show before the election, and I feel like even saying before the election is missing the point that like 40 or 60 million people have already voted. Politics has changed forever, right?
Yeah, it has, and I don't know. It's yet to be determined whether it's for the good or for the bad.
Yeah, I have thoughts on that, and they change every day as well. Paul, be safe. Stay safe. We'll see you next Thursday. The City Hall Insider, Paul Osborne. Former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, and one of the genuinely nicest people you'll ever meet in your entire life. And walks the walk. And after serving this community for so many years, some of the folks out there are just fake news.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.